dangling the gap, extending control. A buckle and bump, redirect your force. Welcome to another episode of the Jiu-Jitsu Geeks podcast. This is Aaron, and I'm back for this one to interview my co-host, Brian Engel and E.T.
How you doing?
Hi.
So, the reason that I'm kicking it off and talking to these guys is something special happened Saturday at a seminar with our main instructor, Gustavo Machado. So, guys, why don't you tell us what went on Saturday after the seminar?
Learned some sick DLR passes.
We did learn some sick DLR passes.
That's something I need to know. Gustavo. And some wrist locks. Handy.
Gustavo dropped some knowledge. He had a good wrist lock that I never, ever, ever think about. Just a different way to set up a wrist lock.
There was a cool wrist lock in there.
Yeah.
And which locks. I will add, I got caught in that by Chuck.
Did you?
Really?
Last night?
Monday night, yeah.
Did you really? For which really? One? The one from the side one?
Yeah, okay. Anyways, it was probably boring for listeners. But yeah, once they get that hand under,
yeah,
it's hard to get out.
We're talking about what is basically a reverse cow hoof.
Yes, from side
which
control.
Which is not one I like to do wrist locks. I never do those.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Yeah. Those are crazy painful. Do you think wrist locks are so painful because of all the nerves that are just right there at the end of your hands and arms?
Are those tiny bones that break easily?
Yeah. Possibly.
Maybe I don't know. Carpal tunnel or like that same area may be affected.
Let me tell you, side note, before we go any further, for probably about 2 years, I had this cyst in my wrist.
I have one right now.
Yeah, it's called a Galien cyst, yep. And they can burst, and then they'll fill back up again. They're really hard to get rid of unless you have surgery.
Yeah.
Chuck, the one who wrist locked you, when I just started, would wrist lock me constantly. And it was extremely, extremely painful.
Yes.
And it was easily one of the worst, periods of my jiu-jitsu training, which is having him wrist lock me.
I don't know about wrist locks. Like, I wonder if they're one of those things that by the time you really feel it, like your knee.
Yeah.
By the time you feel your knee, if you don't know when to tap, you're in trouble when it hurts.
Right. Those are sensitive. Usually apply them pretty slowly, but if you apply them as quickly as you apply
some arm bar or something
or a choke, mm-hmm. you will, you someone will, people will shriek. Yeah. They hurt so bad. Those are incredibly painful. Chuck's not gotten me in a ton of wrist locks. His brother Brad has.
Yeah.
Because every time I get someone in one that has trained with Brad when he was still here, would say, man, remind me of Brad.
Well, he would.
Thank you.
He would, and I picked it up from him, use it as the cherry on top of a submission. Oh, I got you in a triangle. You're trying to breathe? Yeah. Well, look, let me the hand, the arm that's free, I'm going to put that in the wrist lock.
The arm that you would tap with? About to get wrist locked. Come on.
Kind of like Gustavo showed it, though. He showed the wrist lock to the Kimura.
Yeah.
So good stuff.
That was great, and it completely immobilizes that hand to be able to defend it, too.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. Always good stuff when Gustavo comes to town. But as cool as that was, the thing that I'm talking about is my two co-hosts received their black belts.
Congratulations.
Congratulations,
thank
guys.
You.
Thank you very
so
much,
man.
And
when you get your black belt, because I've been a black belt for about a year now, and that's kind of what I want to talk to you guys about, that initial right when you get your black belt. Like, what's that day like? What's the first class like? Did you put it on social media?
Yeah.
But the most important thing is to say congratulations, because I remember people at work or even your family would congratulate you.
Yeah.
And they have no clue what you went through.
No.
To get there. They probably think you break boards. Like, oh, I must have broken more boards.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Guys, black belt.
Concrete bricks. Yeah.
So it means very little except from other jiu-jitsu people who know what you went through and how just huge, huge of a deal it is to receive your black belt. So congratulations. Well deserved.
Well,
thank you very much, Aaron.
Both of these guys have probably technically been there and deserved it when I got mine. I thought so.
I don't think so. My past year has been really good for me.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Did you roll
I think
a year ago? It was
I really just mentioned
bag
that.
Of jelly.
Thanks,
I understand.
Yeah. So one of the things I want to talk about is when you get your black, what was it like for you guys? Is two of you standing? Did you expect it, truthfully?
I will start this. First off, two things.
Yeah.
No, I did not.
I didn't either.
Absolutely did not.
Yeah.
Because I never go into these situations anything expecting anything.
Right.
Never once in any belt have I expected a stripe or a belt, because I always say, oh, that's not me. That's not going to be me. Mm-hmm. I'm always that way. I just assumed that it's, you know. But when Chris started talking and dropping clues of who he was going to give the belt to, I still didn't get it. And I went, that's not me.
Yeah.
You know? So, no, I didn't expect it. And two, there was no quickening. Yeah. If you ever watched the Highlander series, all the souls of your fallen enemies go into your body when you become the Highlander. You become the one, and there was no quickening.
Right.
So,
right.
Why was there, why, what happened? What happened?
I don't know. Okay. You're exactly the same before and after.
The exact, there, yeah, there was no moment. So, it was, I was more stunned. That's it.
I'm thankful moments before I got mine. I wasn't expecting it either. Maybe that's just, you know, the humbleness. I wasn't expecting it, but thankfully, another black belt and a friend of mine, Jimmy Axe, was standing beside me.
Mm-hmm.
And right when we lined up, Jimmy leaned over, and it was a ballsy move because how's he going to take this if I tell him?
Mm-hmm.
And he did it. He leaned over and went, "You're getting your black belt today." He just leaned back. I'm like, oh shit. I can see their instructor lining up. I'm like, I really am. And I was able to, like, oh, here we go. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And it was cool because I could focus in. Were you expecting it, Brian?
No. I'm kind of in the same boat as E.T. I don't really. I try not to expect things like that because just as a person, I don't really expect good things from myself.
Yeah, yeah, I'm the exact same way.
For the most part, it's a pretty negative attitude to have. You spoke about that a little bit in your little speech that you gave, E.T. The same with Brown Belt. Brown Belt felt like Brown Belt strangely kind of almost felt like more of a jump because I was like, I felt like I hadn't been a purple belt all that long. But like in the last like year or maybe since I've gotten my brown belt, I've started like doing a lot more drilling and tried to like really focus in and find a game that was working for me. So I feel like I felt like I made like a lot of improvements in my game, but not to like a black belt level standard. And I think I said that in my little speech that I gave, which was just the most cobbled together. Like, I'm supposed to say something now. Great. Yeah. Like, you know, I was glad I didn't cry, but I was just up there like, I don't know what to say about this.
I know what you mean. And the tears, Chris told me like a month ago, he gave me this text where he was telling me what the black belt means and what he wants to have when people get it. And he says, I want people to get up there and cry. I want you to get up there and cry when you get it. And my brain was like, oh, I'm going to do that because that's a huge moment.
Yeah.
I couldn't cry because I was so shocked. I think it's like watching, you know, you see something, you feel like it's an outer body experience.
Yeah.
And I'm just processing it. And I'm looking at like your face. You were right next to me, Aaron.
Yeah, I jumped up to take your picture. So I walked up there.
You did. And I was, it was almost like, you know, is this really happening?
Yeah.
It's like shell shocked. Is this really happening? Am I being punked or something?
Yeah.
So I couldn't process the emotion. Yeah. Later, also, I didn't have any moisture in the body because
we just got over 3 hour seminar.
Exhausted.
Yes. Yes. But at any rate, when you people start clapping, it was deafening. It felt like maybe somebody, I guess it's when somebody drops a grenade in a foxhole, the person's like disoriented. That's how it felt, is the cacophony of sounds all around me. I mean, so I didn't have that emotional breakthrough until much later.
No, I was just so shocked. And I tried to liken it later to like graduating from college. Like on your first day of jiu-jitsu or your first day of college, you should not think about graduation. Like, it's so far away. You have to do so much to get there. And a lot of people don't get there, you know?
Yeah.
But then like day by day, it just happens. So like, you're the same person. I think I said this when I spoke, like I had taught on the class on Thursday at noon and came to Aaron's class on Thursday evening. Didn't train on Friday. Seminars on Saturday, was back on Sunday.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm the same role as I was 2 days ago.
Yeah.
I will be tomorrow. Like, that doesn't change anything. It doesn't, just like graduation day in college, you get a piece of paper, but it doesn't actually, you don't learn anything more or less. It's just like, oh, this is just like my accomplishment, you know? And it really is like, not to belittle it at all, but it is just a piece of cloth.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can buy a black belt. Anybody can buy one from Amazon. I think that's where Chris brought in an Amazon box. I guess that's where he gets his, or that's where he stores them in the academy. So,
You know, I want to ask you about that, but before we get there, I want to come back to that, but before we get there, When did you realize? Have you realized it yet? Because what's today? Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Yeah. So you guys rolled what? Once, twice with your black belts?
A couple times.
Yeah. Last night. You went to class. Yeah. Did you realize it? For me, it was that. Look, I have a video. We're lucky enough. A guy was shooting a documentary the day I got my black belt. I have it on film.
Yeah, that's nice.
I haven't downloaded. I've never watched it. I don't know that I ever will.
It's awkward, right? It's just a child being born.
Yeah, you don't really want to see it again.
It's just weird. I know I was just this basket case, but that whole day I was numb, kind of like you guys were saying. But the first time it really hit me is when I was packing my bag. I came out, I got my gi, I folded up my gi, and I go to get my belt, which is always hanging in the same spot. And a pole, and it's a black belt. Mm-hmm. And that's when it hit me.
Yeah.
So have you guys had that yet? Are you still kind of numb from it? Or
I think I'm still kind of numb from it. Because like Brian said, you know, I've had a few classes. Brian said, you don't change. There's no physical change. Nobody comes up and sews an extra arm on you or something dramatic. So it's no change, I guess. I think it's going to be the way people interact with you. So far, and you probably know this, so many people come up and congratulate you. You're just being reminded every 20 seconds, you know, oh, okay. That's it. That's the only difference.
I thought about that, Aaron, and it hit me a little bit as I just packed my bag to go to class on Sunday a little early. Well, first of all, let me tell you, like, after black belt, like, what did you do when you got your black belt after class? What did you do?
I don't remember. That whole day was such a blur.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay, let me tell you what I did. Like, I get out and I send a couple of pictures of just the black belt kind of coiled up on the ground with the certificate. I send it to my family and a few friends and stuff, and those texts and calls start trickling in a little bit. I hit a few people up to, like, go out to hang out. Everybody's busy. I went out by myself. I ate at Noodles and Company alone. Uh-huh. And then I went to the bookstore by myself.
So that's a typical day.
It was basically a typical day for me, except I was more tired and I just had kind of a dumb grin on my face the whole time. Because I was very happy. Because that's something you work for, you know, for a long time. And, it was just, I was like, well, it's kind of underwhelming how the celebration part is going. But, like, like, some of my friends find out, and none of my friends outside of jiu-jitsu friends do jiu-jitsu, so they don't really appreciate it. They're like, one guy today even said, like, I thought you were already a black belt.
Yeah.
Like, no, that makes it worse that you thought that. Like, I just got it.
They don't understand.
Yeah, they don't get it. It's the same way, and I love all my friends, but, like, when my friends post photos of their newborn kid, I don't have a kid.
Yeah. So there's no connection
I
to don't, that.
I can't relate to that feeling, and no one almost can relate to this feeling that I know, except the people that, like, you know, like people that have known me for years and, like, constantly see me just, like, hobbling around or you know, like, I'll meet you after I train. I'm training that day. I can't do it. They constantly are kind of a little bit of a subject to the jiu-jitsu lifestyle of, I got to go to bed earlier. I'm not going to have another drink. I got to train tomorrow. Nothing's worse than training hungover. So they may appreciate it a little bit more than the average person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It hit me when I got my brown belt.
Yeah.
How little people understand. A lady in my office comes in. She goes, so brown belt, is that like the highest belt in what you do? And I went, no, actually, it's black belt. And there's one more. And she goes, well, how long is that going to take? I went, probably take a couple of years. I don't know.
Yeah.
And people in work know, you know, I don't go out to eat lunch often because I got to train that night. I don't go out to happy hour because I got to go to class, blah, 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 blah. Competed more then.
Yeah.
And she looks at me and she goes, what do you have to do to get a black belt in this stuff if you're not one? Because that's all you do.
Right.
For years. Just since I've known you. And she's like, you're not a black belt? And I'm like, nope, not even close.
Because in their mind, they
don't get it.
They don't get it. And they just see sacrifice. A little bit of sacrifice.
So much.
But on a superficial level.
Yeah.
And then, well, that should get it. That should earn. No, it's more than that. Yeah. It's more than just a little sacrifice you see. That's the top of the glacier of what I'm going through to get what I'm getting.
That's the snow on top of the glacier. It's a very good analogy. Yeah, people ask me those similar types of questions. You know, what do you have to do? Or how long is it going to take? Or, my brother's a black belt in karate. Like, I took him a couple years.
Like, that's two or three years.
Okay, and I try not to be, like, a jerk about it or whatever, but like, that's not the same thing. It's just not the same thing.
Yeah.
That's all I can say about it. You know, you just don't, people just don't understand, I guess, what the, and not to make it sound like, you know, we're some mystics that are just have a higher level of understanding than other people.
But we are.
But we sort of are. But, you know, in all seriousness, we sort of are.
Look, I think if I equated to this, and I told my dad this, I said, you know, getting a black belt in Taekwondo and karate, and I love all those arts so much. But it's like graduating.
I wanted to ask you this.
It's like getting a degree from a community college. Mm-hmm. Getting a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu from a legitimate Jiu-Jitsu school is like graduating from an Ivy League academy.
Okay.
And I said, that's what I say. That's what I tell people. The way I think about it. Because it took so much in it, because it's such a deep pool, I didn't just recite I built a martial art around my body type.
Yeah, that's...
I built this around myself to work for me.
That's very...
And satisfied Gustavo and Chris. This is not, I just learned some set curriculum that puts to work for everybody. You know, that's what a lot of other things are.
I'm glad that you mentioned that, E.T., because I wanted to ask, well, you know, you being, having a background in traditional martial arts, I didn't know, one, if you were a black belt in them, I could not remember, but two, how it stacked up. So that answers that question pretty well.
Yeah.
And what you said about customizing your jiu-jitsu to get to a black belt, you do have to know, you got to know the scissor sweep, you got to know an arm bar from guard,
right.
Getting all that type of stuff. But like the game you go to when you're rolling against someone tougher, you know, what you want to work on is entirely your own. Yeah. And so that's a neat thing that I've been able to experience for myself the last couple of years, and see what you guys are coming up with too. And the other high level belts is that they kind of branch out. It's like seeing what all your friends end up doing with like their lives as far as jobs or something go. Like, you like a half guard? You wanna immediately go for a takedown and be on top? Like, you know, people choose their own thing, and so
that
makes everyone's jiu-jitsu and their jiu-jitsu black belt, I think, unique.
Right?
Because they're not the same. It's not 20 people that are going to be carbon copies of each other. Like maybe you see these black belt karate videos online where everyone's doing the same ha in a line.
Yes.
You know, you'll never see that. You might see that in drilling, maybe, but you're not going to see it in a rolling or in competition.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
You're not.
Well, here's a question I got for you guys, and that I've kind of messed around with after having a couple months at black belt. So the motivation in jiu-jitsu is a lot of things, but the belts are one of them. Whether it be the smallest thing, you know, it's definitely a motivating factor to get your black belt. Everybody wants it, but we all know if you've been doing it long enough, you got to kind of forget about it. But here's the trip. Today, we've all earned our black belts, and we will always have earned them.
Yeah.
We are today at the rank, at the skill level, the skill level of black belt.
Right.
Today. That can be lost.
Oh, we definitely can.
Sure. We can take a year off and come back, and we've earned our black belts, mm-hmm. but we're not at that level anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so what motivates you now that you're black belts mm-hmm. to keep that skill level up? Because I think that's tough.
It is so funny. We just talked about the difference between traditional martial arts and martial arts, jiu-jitsu. One of my favorite quotes, and this is what keeps me motivated, is from Gichin Funakoshi, who was the founder of Shotokan Karate and really brought karate to popularity. And he said that karate, and you can apply it to all martial arts, is like boiling water. You've got to keep the temperature under it hot enough to keep it boiling, which means you've got to keep the fire under yourself to keep yourself motivated, or all that skill is going to be gone.
Yep.
And that's what I think all the time. Am I consistently doing what I got to do to keep where I am today.
Yeah.
You know, not just progressing, but keep where I am today.
Yeah.
I don't want to go backwards. That's all I want. I don't want to go backwards. Right. And if you don't go backwards, you will go forwards.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Right. So that's yours, just to maintain this level, maintain your black belt. Level.
Maintain, or whatever belt.
Or get better.
And you will get better.
Yeah. Sure.
You will refine everything. You will pick stuff up. Just don't stop and go back.
Don't rest on what you've already accomplished.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we know a lot of people that have.
Oh,
we know, and we see them on Facebook that are still posting pictures of themselves from when they trained that haven't trained in a long time. So that's still in their mind, but they can't roll like they did 4 years ago.
Nah.
No. Nah. I mean, so.
What about you, Engel?
I think I had this idea in my mind of what a black belt was, like especially like when I started training. Even Chris was in the black belt,
right?
You know, he's a second degree now, correct?
Yes.
So I mean, so he was a brown belt, and I remember just how helpless I was as a white belt, and feeling these guys like Brad, like Dave, and Chuck, the guys that are black belts now, first degrees, most of them. Chris, who's a second degree black belt, going and rolling with Gustavo's guys still to this day. I remember how bad Greg tooled me up when we rolled just in February.
Yeah.
You know? I see that, and like, I still see myself through the eyes of, like, the guy that just walked through the academy doors that, like, couldn't get through the warm-ups without having to hit his asthma inhaler. Like, that was who I used to be, you know? And I had this picture in my mind of what a black belt was, and I'm still trying to live up to that.
Yeah.
Like, I still think, like, oh, I should, and this is probably hugely incorrect, but in my mind, like, a black belt should be able to beat anybody at any time. Like, anybody other than another black belt.
Be ready to fight.
Be ready to go and ready to, and be able to win.
That samurai mentality.
Yes, yes. And even though I'm not really a competitor, I've never been in a fight, like, I want to be able to, like, slap hands with anybody other than another black belt and be able to submit, do whatever I want to them.
Yeah.
And, like, I feel like that is a level of mastery that I strive to. It might not be realistic. It's probably not realistic. Everyone's different. Everybody's got different games, different body types. Even, you know, the same sports teams, two sports teams can play each other 10 times. It'd be 10 different scores.
Right.
One would win, the other would win.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to happen. But that's kind of my motivation is, like, I'm going to just be that guy. And I want to keep earning this belt because, like I mentioned on Saturday, the level of jiu-jitsu that Gustavo's affiliation is so high. Like, his black belts are all so good. You know, the ones that actively train, like, they're nightmares to roll with. They're beasts, exactly. Like, you step on the mat and you better have your stuff straight or else you will get eaten alive. And I don't want to feel like that.
Yeah.
I want to feel like I'm
at least
like,
competitive.
I want to be competitive. Like, you need to worry about me too. Like, we got the same color belt on now, so you need to worry about me. And, you know, in like the, you know, the healthiest, like, friendliest way possible, but I still want to be able to feel that.
What about you? What about you, Aaron?
Yeah. What keeps you motivated?
A couple things. One, I'm just, luckily still completely obsessed with jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
Guys who know me, I mean, I have a family, I have work and jiu-jitsu, and that's it. And I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
I mean, we're sitting in my matted out garage right now, and we might drill a little bit afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so happy to do that.
That's your Tuesday.
That's what's up. So, you know, and the other thing too is I do compete, and I compete. The main reason that I compete is to motivate me.
Yeah.
And that keeps me motivated. I've signed up for an IBJJF tournament. And everybody's different. Some people compete. Some people don't. Either way is fine. I like it. I like competing. You know, like I said, I have a job and a family. So I'm not a full-time jiu-jitsu guy. And sometimes you run up against those guys. And when you do, it's a tough day.
Yeah.
But that's not the point. The point is, it's kind of like when you prepare for a marathon. You know, the preparation from training for that marathon. You might not win it, but you're going to be a better runner.
Yeah.
After getting ready for a competition, I'm going to be better at jiu-jitsu, no doubt. So about once or twice a year, I'll do that. And that, I really ramp up for that. And in between, I'm just obsessed with jiu-jitsu. And then, too, like you guys said, we're fortunate enough to be in an affiliation of killers, and there's always going to be somebody to look up to and say, I want to be somewhere near that guy. And it's unrealistic.
Yeah.
But that's what keeps me motivated. The higher-level guys are affiliation. Couple tournaments a year that I know I'm going to do and just being in love with the art.
Something I've come to appreciate really recently, it's been a little switch in my mindset, is there's some guys we were talking about, I don't think he probably doesn't understand how to work a computer, our friend Dominic.
Yeah.
He got his brown belt. Congratulations, Dom. It's very well deserved. He's come up through the ranks very quickly. He's just a great athletic specimen. He did a little bit of wrestling in high school. He's a pain in the ass to roll with.
Yeah,
he's a beast.
Yeah, he's a young guy.
He's a
too. He's got a lot,
nightmare.
Yeah, he's got a lot of stuff going.
Yeah,
for him.
He's got a lot. He's got a lot of stuff going for him, and he basically trains every class.
Yeah,
he's in a similar boat to me. No, you know, no family or kids or anything like that. He just trains more than I do. You know,
yeah.
I'll say it for him because he wouldn't say it for himself because he's a very nice and humble guy.
Super humble guy.
He's not always my favorite guy to roll with because it's not an easy roll.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to play on the bottom a lot recently, and just from a physics standpoint, being on the bottom is basically an inferior position. You got to work to get your way to the top, because I don't want to just, like, do the knee wrestle thing. I want to earn the top position, and he starts passing on the feet, and he's running back and forth, and turns into a track meet, and it's a nightmare. But But I'm learning to appreciate very recently rolling with guys like him or like you two or like, you know, our other black belts, tough purple and brown belts, because that's what got me a black belt.
Yeah.
Rolling with guys like that. Yeah. Like, you know, it feels great to be able to dummy up some, you know, white or blue belt and just do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't make you any better. It doesn't make you any better. Having to work and work and work and work for the same sweep five times before you finally get it is what really, like, takes huge chunks out of that knife blade to really help sharpen it up. When you're just able to do it to somebody that's never trained, there's almost no benefit in that other than just, like, very superficial, like, joy and, like, maybe a little bit of muscle memory. But you're not struggling enough, I think, to make real gains. And you're not testing your heart either.
You see people that do pick the easy rolls,
yes.
And you see the results.
Yes.
But there's one thing that I hear a lot of people say, the words train hard, train hard, train hard. I mean, that comes up all the time. Train hard to get your black belt. Train hard. Chris says it. Gustavo says it. And kind of like what you're saying in a way, I sort of think of what does train hard mean, because when you're in class, you always feel like you're training hard. How much harder can I train? Do I just grunt and just, you know, what does that mean? Tough out submissions? I think it means put yourself in, take yourself out of your comfort zone every time you train. And that means roll with guys who are going to roll you up.
Yeah.
And roll with guys who you might be in a position for 5 minutes. I'm in your butterfly guard for 5 minutes.
Right.
Try.
Yeah.
That's hard training.
Yeah. That's hard for me too.
Hard training. We can't physically exert ourselves anymore. If we do, it probably would be a little, you know, it might be a little too much. We'll be thinking about our games.
Yeah.
We'd just be smashing, you know, head to head.
Yeah.
But that hard training where you pick the people that are going to make you, you make you better, and because they're going to make you try things that you never tried before, or make you, I don't know, regret.
Yeah, you learn.
You
win or you learn.
Yes.
Yeah.
So anyway, I know what you mean.
Yeah, I've just really recently started to appreciate and try to seek those people out more instead of, oh, you know, I just had a hard roll. I'll do a, you know, a nice white belt chaser. You know, kind of take some of the burn out of my legs, you know, just go around, like, now I'll go down and see what's going on at the other end of the mat, see who's down there, you know, pick the person to roll with next. I think the biggest difference in black belt is, like you guys said earlier, it's just how people treat you. They, you know, it's like, oh, here he is, look at that guy, you know, and I got some of that today. I got tapped today in class. Yeah, had a black belt for one day and got tapped. Dim's Dave. Yeah,
oh,
we were doing
fellow black belt.
Another black belt is fine.
First degree black belt in Kenworthy.
Blue belt, I would rag you a little bit. Yeah.
Oh, I would not have brought it up. That would never happen. Okay. Right. We were doing guard passing drills. Exhausting. You're talking about competing, getting ready for this competition. Chris is, you know, he had us do guard passing rounds, round after round after round. And I think Dave may have been my last round, because I went with Dominic, who's now a brown belt. Wheeler, who's a brown belt, went with a blue belt, so that was my chaser. Not even following my own advice, and I went with Dave. I think it was my last round.
Which is a tough trio.
It's tough.
Yeah.
Three of those four are the toughest guys in the school.
Yeah, tough. And then, like, I got caught in a triangle, and I thought I could step over his leg that was pointed downward, and that would do something. It just made it tighter.
Yeah.
Don't know what I was thinking, but I was exhausted, and I was like, man, I get submitted. Great. But you know what, like, I guess if you train long enough, you resubmitted at black belt more than every other belt.
Oh,
if
yeah,
you train
because you're going to be there for a very long time.
Yeah. Absolutely, and you got to get submitted. If you're not getting submitted, you're not trying stuff.
And you're not working with people that are going to make you better.
And you're not going with good people when you're tired. You know, go with the best guy in the class, fifth roll, or sixth roll, or seventh, or eighth roll in an open mat, and put yourself in a bad spot. Have fun with that.
Yeah.
You know? And that stuff's good to do.
Yeah.
You want to get your defense good.
Yeah. But I definitely felt some pressure when I was... I rolled with Chris today. I think he may... Yeah, I just rolled once. I forgot my... I've been a mess at Splat. I forgot my water bottle, forgot my mouth guard, forgot all this stuff when I went to training today, so I didn't roll a ton because I was already tired and dehydrated when I walked in. But, like, I didn't feel... I felt some pressure to roll... When I was rolling against him, I was like, I really need to... You didn't make a mistake. Like, I can hold this thing up. But then even, like, when I was doing the guard passing drills against, you know, our brown belt still, but I was like, oh man, I gotta pass. I have to pass because that's what a black belt does. He passes a guard. I cannot let them pass.
Yeah.
I can't do it because that's not what happens to a black belt, you know. Yeah. So I probably have an unhealthy idea of what it should be, but
that's all right.
It's really pushing me right now. I mean, this is day two or three. So
absolutely.
Well, just to move this along, and thanks for taking the time to talk to us about and ask us a question. You know,
absolutely. But I do want to, before we move along, do really congratulate you guys.
Thank you. Well, thank you. You're a big part of both of you.
Huge part. Same thing with both of you guys.
I was getting congratulations text from guys that weren't at the seminar, and I was telling them, like, you know, when it was actually true and applicable, like, you, whoever I was talking to, you know, part of this belt is yours.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, without you, you know, like, doing takedowns with me or, you know, letting me drill or, you know, just rolling with me and beating me or, you know, like, making me, you know, just roll until it feels like I'm, like, my lungs and chest and legs are filled with, like, battery acid. There's nothing comes from that. Nothing comes without that,
right?
Not in jiu-jitsu, at least. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, you guys are a huge part of this.
Yeah.
Well, we put a couple questions up on the Jiu-Jitsu Geeks Instagram.
We did. Thank you for bringing that up.
And we want to address them because I'd like to start interacting more with their audience. The two questions we put up.
Mm-hmm.
First one is, what keeps you motivated in jiu-jitsu?
Okay.
And the second one is, what's the worst BJJ injury you've had? And we got some good ones. And you want to go, because I'm not wearing my glasses, do you want to read some of these off?
It's okay. I've got E.T.'s phone here. I'll scroll through his personal pictures later.
Oh, gosh.
This one, should we do, like, usernames? Should we tell the usernames? Okay. I'm sorry if I butcher these, ladies and gentlemen. Tina
Melendi.
She answers for her boyfriend. My boyfriend, Randall.Sanders21, had neck injury that laid him up for 2 months and several more before he could train. So I'm assuming that means several more injuries.
Two months,
because she says 2 months specifically,
yeah.
And several more. I'll say that's a good one. Thank you for your
feedback
input. Yes, probably the worst injury I've ever had was a sprained neck.
Yeah,
that like took me. I was rolling with one of our brown belts. He wasn't a brown belt at the time. This was years ago. And he fell on me from when I had one shoulder on the mat, like basically in side control, you know, like a good side control where you're on your side. But we were doing something and he fell and like compressed my shoulders forward, like, and together. And I felt like a pop. And then like, I couldn't like lift my arms up or it was just super painful. I ended up spraining my neck and I was out for a few months with that. So I know neck injuries are bad. And we have, one of our training partners, Chad, he's got something going on with his neck. He can't lift his arm above like shoulder height.
Yeah,
thinking there may be like some nerve something going on. So, get well soon. Joe Cool, he's a regular follower, liker of our stuff.
What's up, Joe Cool?
Joe Cool. What keeps him motivated? Learning new techniques. I definitely appreciate that. You're a technique guy, Aaron. As are you, ET. Like that's a really great part of it is that you can just keep. You can work on one technique, and you can just keep refining it.
Yeah.
Keep refining it until
it's pretty deep well. One technique is a pretty deep well.
And any technique can be that, which is why jiu-jitsu never ends. His worst injury, dislocated shoulder.
Wow, I've never had a shoulder injury that was bad.
Neither have I. That's a pretty big one.
Yeah, that is a big one.
Yeah, because not only does that, I imagine, excruciatingly hurt, but there's some longer lasting damage that I think that loosens up the joint.
So it can happen more
easily going forward.
We've seen Lethal
Weapon. You know what we should do on the next podcast, because I know you guys, too. I've had a couple injuries, and I've found some really cool ways to rehab them that work for me.
Okay.
We should go over that, like our injuries and...
Because
I've had neck and knee, and then everything else, but and I've got some cool rehab.
Good.
I know you guys
that'd be very cool.
That at least worked for me, so we should cover that.
This one is from Juan Contreras.
He wants to learn new techniques.
He wants to learn new techniques, and he had a knee surgery and was out for 3 months.
Good golly.
Yeah, knees are a tough one, man. I was rolling with a guy the other day, and I popped his knee on accident. It was I didn't hear it, but he was a young white belt popping up, and he got some wrestling, so he wants to go to his feet all the time. And I was just doing a single leg, bringing him down, one leg, then the other. And I think he, because I felt horrible about it. And yeah. he said, no, he just, like, defended the wrong way. I think he turned his knee the wrong way, and it popped. But he's back now training. He's at the seminar, yeah. Thankfully, so I'm glad about that. But these are scary, man. Next, Air Cripe.
It's a toss-up for him between the health benefits and the way you have to think to improve. He likes the cerebral aspect, which is really good because you do jiu-jitsu is a cerebral art.
Good answer.
And he had a broken foot, and I have broken bones in my foot. I've never broken my foot before, but I've broken toes. I've broken the top of my foot. It's excruciatingly painful. He didn't give too many details about it, but I don't care. Whatever you do to your foot, you don't stop walking.
Nah.
Yeah.
You don't. It's like a rib.
Yeah,
you got to breathe. You got
to
walk.
You got to walk. Even you get up at night at 3 o'clock in the morning to pee, you don't have a crutch. Mm-hmm. It's going to hurt the whole way there. Yeah. I mean, there's no really way to lay off of that.
Yeah. Next is from Narmenta 9411.
Where do people get these names? I have no clue.
I don't know. Choking out my friends. JK. Okay. Actually, you're not joking.
You're not joking because that is fun.
That is fun.
Unless he means JK Simmons, actor.
Yeah. Maybe, okay. Maybe possibly. J. Jonah Jameson. Growing that 1% to be better every day. I appreciate that answer because we were just talking about continually refining techniques to basically infinity.
Yeah.
Subdural hematoma.
That sounds like a killer.
What is that?
I don't know.
I don't know what that
is. Might
want
to get that checked.
He might
not be jiu-jitsu related.
He hasn't posted in a while, we see.
Yeah. Okay, here's one from E.T. Slade.
No, it's
herpes.
Not.
Herpes. That's... Wait a minute.
You can get that.
That's what
right?
keeps you motivated.
That's what keeps you motivated. Suppress the breakouts.
Here's Randall Sanders. His girlfriend answered for him earlier. Winning worlds at color belt. Wow. Winning the world championships at color belt. Congratulations. Two. What's injuries? Herniated discs and two bulging discs in my neck at the same time.
Ah,
that's rough
on your neck. I feel like necks and knees are like combat sports are rough on them.
He's asking his boss, do I wear a tie to work every day? Because it's
a
clip on.
Really difficult. Hurting your ankle or getting your ankle popped or your foot and then putting on work shoes, shoes,
mm-hmm.
the worst. Here's one from D. Kenworth. That guy sounds like a winner. This is Dave Kenworthy, our friend, fellow black belt. The support and encouragement of my training partners. Nice answer. And worst injury, a broken heart.
I gave him that.
Dave, I'm sorry to hear you had a broken heart, baby.
I'm going to cry, baby. And last, Crowan 83. His motivation, achieving my black belt and getting better at teaching. The injuries are spiked my shoulder into the mat recently and sprained a muscle.
That sounds pretty painful. I've had that happen.
Sounds like
times.
A sweep gone awry, yeah. Or just a nasty takedown or something like that.
But that's a common one. But it doesn't feel good.
No,
so
it definitely does not.
So hey, guys and girls, thank you for responding to this. We're going to put more stuff up and talk about it when we do our podcast.
Appreciate
we get some. Everybody's got different experiences. A lot. I mean, a hematoma. What?
Yeah.
No.
I appreciate that. I appreciate the different experiences, but they're all sort of the same. Like we all can kind of relate to, except for a hematoma. Isn't that the thing that, like, it's a giant bulge in your head?
Possibly.
Didn't
Martin Catman have one?
Isn't that what that is? Subdural? I don't know what that means. We probably sound like idiots to someone that has medical background.
There's some doctor listening.
Screaming at the iPod right now.
Anyway, but we got to wrap this up, guys. We're going a little too long, and I have a kid here. I need to put to bed.
Yeah.
Not me.
Put him to sleep. Hey, man.
Who's that? All right.
Aaron, be quiet.
All right,
we're going to put the kids to bed and drill, so.
Cool. Thank you guys so much again.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you guys.
I missed podcasting with both of you, but it's been fun.
We'll do some more
in the garage a little bit more. Maybe the next one we'll talk about some rehab and recovery.
That would be a great topic. Because that's a big thing.
We also want to get into, should everybody do jiu-jitsu? Is there a jiu-jitsu for everybody? Which is a deep well we want to talk about.
That's a deep conversation.
We'll get into that.
Yeah,
we'll get into that. Don't worry.
Get into it. All right,
guys.
So, until next time, thank you guys.
Thank you.
Later.